Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And I have a couple things that I'm definitely going to get to this hour. Definitely. We're going to get to the Fed. More importantly, I'm going to update you on my brisket. We're going to get to some emails. We'll probably make fun of Mitch McConnell this hour, only because I'm too excited to do so. And we have all this great audio out here, but I need to get to... Well, you know what I need to get to. It's Monday. Every single Monday, for you new listeners to the show, every single Monday at this time, we do Medal of Honor Monday. There's nothing special about what we do. You can do this. I wish you would do this. You can print out every Medal of Honor citation, anyone. Or shoot, just read them off your phone. Read these to your the team you coach, your Sunday school class, your school class. It's totally nonpartisan. It's Medal of Honor, even though we know that's not true, but it's just a Medal of Honor. Read this in your home. We have to incentivize things because that's all culture is. What you incentivize and what you disincentivize. Why is all the world, all the athletes and everything, like the stuff we've been lamenting, why do they all bow down to the left-wing mob now? All of them. They're not bowing down to you. They're bowing down to the left-wing mob. Why? I'll tell you why. That's where the incentives are. All the incentives are there. All the incentives are to bend the knee because that's what we've incentivized. If we want better people in this society, if we want to go back to a society that had so many amazing people in it, we have to hold up people who are incredible, not the latest YouTube star. Hold up people who are incredible and then tell our kids, there, that's who you want to go be. Someone I can hold up to my sons. Sons, I want you to be Gary Burnell Beekirch, U.S. Army, Vietnam. Listen to this one.
Ready, aim,
honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
And I actually think that might have been Beekirk, but oh well. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action at risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Sergeant Beekirk, Medical Aid Man, Detachment B-24, Company B, distinguished himself during the defense of Camp Dak Sang. The Allied defenders suffered a number of casualties as a result of intense, devastating attack launched by the enemy from well-concealed positions surrounding the camp. Sergeant Beekirk, with complete disregard for his personal safety, moved unhesitatingly through the withering enemy fire to his fallen comrades, applied aid to their wounds, and assisted them to the medical aid station. When informed that a seriously injured American officer was lying in an exposed position, Sergeant Beekirk ran immediately through the hail of fire. Although he was wounded seriously by fragments from an exploding enemy mortar shell, Sergeant Beekirk carried the officer to a medical aid station. Ignoring his own serious injuries, Sergeant Beekirk left the relative safety of the medical bunker to search for and evacuate other men who had been injured. He was again wounded as he dragged a critically injured Vietnamese soldier to the medical bunker while simultaneously applying mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to sustain his life. Sergeant B. Kirk again refused treatment and continued to search for other casualties until he collapsed. Only then did he permit himself to be treated. Sergeant B. Kirk's complete devotion to the welfare of his comrades at the risk of his life are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon him, his unit, and the U.S. Army. And we did get an email that was, I didn't want to read it beforehand because it kind of gave away some of the stuff, but I'm going to read it now. It kind of spread some light on this. Remember, you can email your love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions, and any Medal of Honor Monday citations that you like, or maybe you have one that's near to your heart because a family or a friend or something like that. This guy says, I love your show. I'm a more recent listener. If you haven't already read this nomination, I apologize for the duplication. I want to nominate Green Beret Sergeant Gary B. Kirk, who earned his Medal of Honor in Vietnam. I read his life story in the book Blaze of Light by Marcus Brotherton over the Christmas time, and it was great. I know you prefer to use actual Medal of Honor citation for your broadcast, and his official citation describes his heroic actions as a medic during the attack. But what the citation leaves out is that Sergeant B. Kirk was left paralyzed by his initial injuries during the attack on the base. Paralyzed from the waist down, he had himself dragged by his fellow Vietnamese soldier to an M60 machine gun, which he then manned, fending off wave attacks until wounded again and collapsing of exhaustion and blood loss. It is believed that at least two U.S. helicopters were downed with loss of all crew members in the attempt to medevac Sergeant B. Kirk. He did survive miraculously, recovered his ability to walk, got married, and served an entire career as a school guidance counselor in upstate New York. A Christian who lived a worthy life of the sacrifice made by his Montagnard bodyguard, who literally gave his life that day to protect Gary during the fight. He passed away in December 2021 from cancer. Passed away at the age of 74. How about that? You know what? Rest in peace, warrior. All right, we'll get back to the politics here in a minute. I do want to point something out, though, because I always have to keep in mind, it's not like I'm the master of all military terms, but because I did 4 years in the Marines and I geek out on the books and documentaries, I do know some terms that some people may not know. What's a Montagnard? It talks about his Montagnard bodyguard. What's a Montagnard? The Montagnards were tribal peoples in Vietnam. Not part of the government, not part of the Viet Cong, not part of that. Tribal peoples who were working with us. They worked with U.S. troops to try to stop the communists. And there are many, many, many stories of exceptional bravery from the Montagnards. And there are some stories that don't involve exceptional bravery. It's just kind of the way it goes. But there are many stories of that exceptional bravery from them. Now, I have audio. I thought it would be appropriate to play it now. The families today of many of the warriors who died in Afghanistan, those 13 warriors, they sat down and met with some GOP members of the House today. She speaks for a minute. I'm going to let her have her say. She has more than earned it. A corporal, Lance Corporal Dylan Marola, is one of our brave warriors, our brave devil dogs who gave his life that day in Afghanistan. Cheryl Rex is his mother. This goes on about a minute, I believe. I'm going to let it play. You know how I've told you before that I don't think Joe Biden has a soul anymore? I obviously can't look inside and see, but if it was a physical thing, I think it's gone, or else it would be black or crusted over. I want you to think about the heartbreak that would be involved meeting a plane on the tarmac with a coffin of your baby boy inside of it. And I want you to listen as Cheryl Rex describes her interaction with the President of the United States of America.
When Joe Biden, our elected president, entered the room, when he approached me, his words to me were, my wife Jill and I know how you feel. We lost our son as well and brought him home in a flag-draped coffin. My heart started beating faster and I started shaking knowing that their son died from cancer and they were able to be by his side. Also wondering how someone could honestly be so heartless to say he knew how I felt a little over 24 hours and learning of my son's death. After this encounter, I have never had any personal correspondence, nor has my son been honored or his name spoken by this commander-in-chief or his administration. On what I feel is because of their failures and poor planning to exit our troops from Afghanistan.
He met with that woman who had just lost her baby boy, and without a moment of hesitation, he lied through his teeth about his son, as he's done several times before, claiming that his son, Bo Biden, died in combat. These people who lead us, I am convinced they are the most evil people on the planet. Like, you know, murderers, somebody we don't like, murderers, oh, murderer. And no one looks up to murderers. I'm convinced at this point, the people who lead this nation are actually more evil than murderers. They are. What kind of a human being is even capable of doing stuff like that? Well, our president is Joe Biden. All right. Enough of that. We're moving on. Let's get to the Fed and the Rear Admiral next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Reminding you, if you missed any part of the show, they podcast every episode, the whole thing. The iHeartRadio app's free, and the whole thing's podcasted on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. On iTunes, don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and a review talking about how handsome I am. Now, I should give you an update on the brisket, because remember going into Friday, I told you I was going to be smoking a brisket for the first time ever this weekend. And I know you don't care, but I just have to get this off my chest. And remember, I told you I was going to screw it up, because there were just too many different recipes, too many different things. Cook it at this temp, cook it at that temp, never cover it. Oh, you got to cover it. Do this, cook it for 4 hours, cook it for 24 hours, cook it. No one has an answer, right? So here's, I'm just going to tell you what I did. You can take it or you can leave it. This is what I did, all right? And Chris, I'll allow you your say in just a moment. Just a moment. I turned the smoker on to 180 on Friday night. It was late. I decided to stay up late because I was nervous about it overheating. So it was like 10 o'clock at night. Smoker's at 180. I throw the brisket on the smoker. Now, this brisket costs $72. $72. So I'm nervous about overcooking it. My plan is to let it cook while I sleep. If I wake up to a burnt piece of charcoal that costs $72, I might just go back to bed and just cry myself to sleep all day long. Just me huddled up in a ball. Oh my gosh, my brisket. So I put it on 180 and I threw it on. I put the little temperature probe in there. The pellet grill has one of those things. And I will tell you beforehand, I rubbed it down with some kind of like just a meat rub, like a Cajun rub. Nothing special about it. That's all I did. Rubbed it down with that, put it on, put the temp probe in, walked away. About 9 or 10 the next morning, so about 12 hours later, it was not obviously 202, 203 inside. So I cranked it up to 225 for a few more hours. After that, pulled it off. I put it in foil right away and dropped it in a cooler, as Chris lectured me to, that I had to rest it for an hour. Apparently that lets all the juices go back out, an hour, 90 minutes. Let it rest in the cooler, pulled it out. Is it the greatest brisket ever? I'm positive it's not. It's one of the best things I have ever eaten in my entire life. Now, what's your problem, Chris? What did I screw up? No, tell me. I want to hear it. What? Okay. You said you would have wrapped it once I went up in temperature. I saw a lot of recipes that called for that. The first thing someone asked me is, did I do that? I saw some that did and some that didn't. Why would I do that? It helps keep it more moist. Okay. But I don't have to, right? Because this one turned out pretty freaking good. Okay, I should. Now wrap it in what? Just foil? Do I have to seal it up tight in the foil? As good as I can. Okay, it's hot meat. Okay. All right. Well, it was hot meat. All right. Now, before we get to the Fed, maybe you're in a position right now, maybe you're sitting there thinking to yourself and you're saying, Jesse, one day I want to have the means to buy a $72 brisket every weekend. Because Chris asked me when I'm going to do the next brisket, and I said, I don't know, a year? This one was $72. But maybe you're somebody with more expensive tastes and you'd like to smoke one every weekend, and I want that for you. And here's what I'm going to do for you. I can't give you the brisket. I can't. I can't even give you the money. I can't. I've got a wife. I have no money left. But I can give you the way to go get it. Real estate. No, you don't have to be some mogul. Teachers, school teachers, firemen, they use done-for-you real estate. Why? What does that happen? What happens then? Well, done-for-you will find you the properties. They're in the top markets. They vet the properties. They get you the finance. They get it insured. They handle the closing. They handle the rental process. So what do you do? Well, they walk you through everything, holding your hand through buying a property, making money on it, flipping it one day, or just keep acquiring properties. What happens when you get a hold of done for you real estate is you start out with one, because you're not made of money. I'm not made of money. Turns into two, five, six, 7 years. It's five. Soon it's 10, and you don't have to work anymore. Brisket time, baby. Go to doneforyoujesse.com and find out how it's done, man. These are wonderful people, all right? Doneforyoujesse.com. Now, the Atlanta Fed president had some hurtful words to hear today.
I'm not expecting this to be, you know, a two-month or a three-month period. My outlook is that...
I guess I should have set that up. That was stupid of me. He's talking about inflation.
I'm not expecting this to be, you know, a two-month or a three-month period. My outlook is that we'll still be in a restrictive territory well into 2024. And it'll just take a while for the inflationary pressures that we've seen over the last year and a half to fully dissipate and get us back to 2%.
Okay. All right. So inflation's going to suck for quite a while. That's what he's saying. He's letting you know it's going to suck. And you know the drill. I know the drill. This isn't my first day on the earth. I know when they're telling me it's going to be a year, year and a half, that means it's never coming down. It's just like when you're on a flight. And you get on the flight and you sit down and they say, folks, we've been having maintenance issues. It looks like it's going to be 20 minutes. You might as well get your bag and get off the plane. You're staying in that city that night. It's over. Or in the very least, it's going to be hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. So you know that. And you also know about the credit rating. Now that I need to expand on, I think, a little bit, the inflation and the credit rating, because there's something coming that we need to prep for. Hang on.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, let's deal with the debt stuff. So don't fall asleep, okay? We're going to get to emails, and we'll make fun of women's soccer. That's always fun. And we'll make fun of NASCAR and Mitch McConnell. We'll get to all that. So I just want you to stay awake for this segment. And here's why. It's so boring talking about money and the debt. It just is. It doesn't seem real. The numbers are so big. Plus, it's never mattered. It would be like me coming to you every single day and telling you, hey, there's a hurricane coming, a huge one, Cat 5. It's going to level this house. If you don't do something, you better get your hurricane prep in now. It's going to level this house. Cat 5 hurricane coming. It would be like me knocking on your door and telling you that every single day of your life, and every single day of your life, you look outside and it's sunny and there are no clouds in the sky. At some point in time, when I knock on the door and I say, Bob, have you heard about that hurricane? You're going to roll your eyes and say, Jesse, just let me know when it gets here. Please. That's what's happening with our national debt. That's what's happened with all of us in our national debt. The numbers are gigantic. 20 trillion, 30 trillion, trillions here, trillions there, 500 billion here. And we can't comprehend these numbers. They're so big that we don't even know why we should care. If we do care, we don't really understand how much we should care. Is this a really big deal? Or is that okay? Well, let me put it to you this way. I'm going to explain this. This is the best way I can explain it. I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine you are in a car. The car's not on. You're in a car. And you're on top of a hill. There's a paved road from your car down the hill. All right? Down the hill. At the end of this paved road, at a very steep angle, is a cliff with no guardrails on it whatsoever. None. A cliff with no guardrails. And it's about a 1,000-foot drop once you go off the edge of the cliff. So if this car goes off the edge of the cliff, everyone in the car is going to die. Everybody, there will be no survivors unless somebody pulls a parachute out and manages to get out the window. Everyone's going to die. The car is America in America's debt situation. The car is not on top of the hill anymore. I want to clarify. The car is on the way down towards the edge of the cliff, and it's moving at breakneck speed. Now, I want you to think of Democrats and Republicans, because they're both equally at fault here. Republicans signed trillion-dollar bill after trillion-dollar bill, just like Democrats do. Joe Biden spent too much. Donald Trump spent too much. Barack Obama spent too much. George Bush spent too much. Bill Clinton spent too much. George Bush before him spent too much. Reagan freaking spent too much. They all spent too much money. All of them.
So Democrats and Republicans, they're at the wheel of the car. And instead of even tapping the brakes, see what they need, because we're racing towards the cliff, we need them to tap the brakes. Let's put the car in reverse and let's go the other direction. Instead of tapping the brakes, Democrats and Republicans have crawled underneath the car. Don't ask me how they did that while it's moving. And they've actually cut the brake lines. And now they're back in the driver's seat, hammering the gas pedal. And maybe you're rolling your eyes right now saying, that's crazy, Jesse, that's over the top. You don't understand. Fitch, they just downgraded our credit rating from AAA, which is the highest, to AA+. What I just told you about the car and the cliff, it's not just a ridiculous analogy for radio. It is a mathematical fact. A fact. It doesn't matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, anti-communist, black, white, Indian, man, woman. I don't care who you are. That car is heading towards the cliff, and it's going towards the cliff quickly. Now, what is the cliff? We have too much debt. Part of the reason we're able to carry that debt is other countries believe America is a good investment. And so they will buy up the debt. They will invest here. They will invest here because they're 100% sure they're going to be paid back. What happens when the debt gets to the point, and remember, this is a mathematical fact, the way we're adding it, the way exponential growth works, we're adding so much debt, we're going to get to a point where we can't pay anymore. We cannot afford, again, a mathematical certainty is that we will get to a point where we can't even cover the interest on the debt anymore. You know what that means when you can't cover the interest on a debt anymore? That means that $10,000 you owe the bank, and you'd like to pay $500 a month to pay part of the principal off, but you can just pay the interest. They'll allow you to do that. They cut you a break. You can just pay $100 for the interest every month. And that $10,000 loan they gave you was for that car you have. Well, the bank will let you go a very long time making the bare minimum payments of $100 on your car, just covering the interest. The second you call the bank and say, hey, that $100, can't cover it this month? Is that okay? Well, just go ahead and look out the front window, because about an hour from now, there's going to be a tow truck in front of your home towing your car away. A mathematical fact is that we will get to a place where the debt, we can't afford the interest on it. And once we start that, then it's Katie bar the door. Now, what does Katie bar the door mean? We always get to this point of this conversation. What is Katie bar? What does it mean? Trouble. Okay. You want Social Security? I want you to picture this moment. Your next Social Security gets to your home, and it's half of what it normally is. And there's a letter included in it that says that number will probably be further reduced as they assess going forward. I want to picture you showing up at the hospital, saying, I'm on Medicare. And they inform you at that moment, only 10% of America's hospitals now will accept Medicare of any kind, and your Medicare benefits have been drastically reduced. You don't even really have basic benefits. I want you to picture this. All those military bases at home and abroad shutting out the lights. Shutting out the lights as the military begins to slash personnel, slash production schedules. You ever seen a beautiful naval base? You ever been out someplace like San Diego somewhere? Oh, those amazing looking ships, America's strength. Are you ready to watch them all sit in port and collect rust? Are you ready for all those welfare checks to stop? We are talking about riots. Because the standard of living in this country will drop like that. You remember it happened in Greece not long ago. Greece got themselves buried in the debt. There were Molotov cocktails going on. That's what happens when society wakes up one day and the checks aren't coming in anymore. And the craziest thing about all that, once again, is that it is not in my opinion that that day is coming. It's a fact. That day is coming. And yet they still are all spending money like it's going out of style. In fact, the GOP, as we speak, they're working with Democrats on the appropriations process to make sure nobody sees even a penny in cuts. All that overspending we've been doing, it's not just that nobody's cutting it. They're all demanding it remain exactly where it is or increase. They're all fighting over who gets to press the gas pedal on the car as it races down that hill towards the cliff. How's that feel? A little uncomfortable, right? Maybe we should start taking that seriously before there are Molotov cocktails, huh? By the way, might want to make sure you're prepped and ready for the times to come. You got an emergency 3-month food kit yet? Does everyone in your home have that food kit? Because I forgot to mention, it's a lot more than Social Security in the military. You will see private sector financial fallout like you've never imagined in your life when America can't pay its bills anymore. You like to think that Piggly Wiggly up the road will always be there so you can go buy yourself a brisket. But the truth is, that's not how the world has always worked. My Patriot Supply has emergency 3-month food kits prepped and ready to go. They got them 25% off. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com and take advantage when they're 25% off, because that's gigantic. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Everyone in your home needs one, all right? We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, and it has been a great Monday, Medal of Honor Monday. Did you see Mitch McConnell got up to give a speech in Kentucky? Maybe Norm has had enough. Maybe Norm is done with these politicians. Those are retire chants, in case you're wondering. So that's just how much love the people have for old Mitch. Sounding popular. Dear World Wanderer. With Trump getting another bump from bogus charges, the goal for the commies is to get one guilty on any charge, on any count, so they can do that to Trump, so he can even... Well, it's a very hard one to read. You stated that DeSantis would not team up with Trump on the ticket. Given the vicious attacks on Trump still going on, have you changed your stance? Would it make sense if they ran together? What say you? He said his name is Robert. What's my take on DeSantis joining forces with Trump? Well, first of all, let's be clear about this. The chances of that happening are zero. Absolutely zero. There's no chance, none whatsoever, they're going to team up. And that's nothing against either of them. They're both the guy. They're both type A dudes. They are not going to play second fiddle. Trump ain't going to be VP for DeSantis. You'd never do that once you were already P, meaning president. And DeSantis ain't going to be Trump's VP. He's not going to be underneath Donald Trump. There's no way the best governor in America is going to be under Donald Trump. No way that's going to happen. So let's be clear. That's not going to happen. Should they, though? Would it make sense if they ran together? Well, in what sense? Here's something that you are going to have to deal with, and I'm going to have to deal with, and we're going to have to kind of untie this knot as we go along. There's something different about this election cycle. There's a lot different about it. There's the campaign side of it. Okay, so we have a primary, a very real primary. Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, they're running against each other. And make no mistake, there's nothing over. Stop listening to stupid people who say things like that. It's freaking August of 2023. Trump still attacks DeSantis every single day. He wouldn't do that if it was over. He's obviously nervous, right? The state-by-state polls mean the state-by-state nature of a primary means anything can happen. It's going to be a long campaign. But there's the campaign portion, the Trump versus DeSantis portion of it. And then there's the Trump legal portion of it, where with all these crap indictments, New York, Florida, and D.C. We got Georgia to come and stuff like that.
So there's the campaign side, and then there's the legal side. I think it's a mistake, just moving forward, how I'm going to tackle this. You tackle it how you want, but because this is way more than we've ever had to deal with or take in a campaign, right? All we've ever cared about in the campaign is the commercials and the debates and the this and how's this news cycle going and whatnot. We're going to have one of the major candidates on trial. It's going to be so wild. We're going to have to tackle each thing as it comes along. That's one. And two, I am going to keep the legal side of it separate from the campaign side of it. Donald Trump campaigning versus Donald Trump in the courtroom. And to be honest, I think they all should. I think it's the smart move. I think Trump should keep that part separate. I think DeSantis should keep that part separate. Joe Biden right now, the Democrats are smart enough to try to keep it separate. You notice what Joe Biden's been doing? Even Corinne's diversity hire? Whenever they're asked about Trump's legal problems, they've never said a word. They've washed their hands of all of it. They understand how important it is to at least attempt to separate the campaign from the legal problems. Now, you and I know those things are connected. I know, I'm not naive. I know those things are connected. But let's separate those out. As for, look, Trump, the Trump and Heavy D pie in the sky joining forces stuff. If you're Trump, do you want to join forces with Heavy D? Do you want to? Or does it look better for you campaign-wise if you look like the martyr out there? And frankly, he is one at this point. That's what he is, being a political martyr. Isn't it better for him to remain that lone man they're all after? And vice versa, if you're Ron DeSantis, why would you want to jump on the ticket with the guy who's been arrested and indicted? Now, this is where the superfans will jump in and say, but those arrests are unjust. Stop saying that to me. I know they're unjust. I know they're crazy. I know they're wrong. They are. They're unjust, crazy, wrong. That doesn't change the fact that it happened. Unjust, crazy, wrong, unfair, whatever word you want to use it, that happens all the time. And if you're Ron DeSantis, look at it from this point of view. If Donald Trump is the nominee, and right now he's the leader, he is in the lead, obviously. If he does turn out to be the nominee and he gets arrested, well, he's been arrested. He gets indicted, he's been indicted. If he gets convicted and Donald Trump becomes a convicted felon, that is going to matter to Normie Norm. It doesn't matter to me one little bit. You'll know, all I know, it's unjust. It won't matter to you one little bit. You'll probably still vote for Trump in the general, even though because you know it's unjust. Normie Norm, there are enough Normie Norms out there. It's going to matter to him that he doesn't want a convicted felon elected president. Donald Trump's legal problems can bleed over to the campaign. It's going to be very difficult to overcome. It's going to be. But again, I want to stress, it's such a crazy year. Joe Biden's so unpopular. Joe Biden's health is so bad. His physical health, his mental health, he can hardly talk, he can't walk. What happens if something happens there? But if he has a bad fall and breaks a hip, does that matter to people? Like, there are going to be things we have to tackle. There are going to be knots to untie we haven't even encountered yet. It's just going to be complicated, right? Complicated. Protect yourself, all right? Protect yourself for some rocky times. You know, I need to play the Fed for you again?
I'm not expecting this to be, you know, a two-month or a three-month period. My outlook is that we'll still be in a restrictive territory well into 2024. And it'll just take a while for the inflationary pressures that we've seen over the last year and a half to fully dissipate and get us back to 2%.
You know, I lost 15% last year. 1.5. You know that you need some gold or silver in your 401k or IRA. Precious metals, they're what raise the floor in how far that retirement can fall. You know that you need physical gold, physical silver delivered to you. Oxford Gold handles all this. They handle it in ways that are not only easy to understand, extremely laid back. This is not some used car place. But they'll put physical gold or silver in your hands to try to make sure that no matter what happens, you have wealth that lasts, that's not subject to the Fed or politicians. They'll get it in your 401k, IRA. Don't lose everything you've worked hard for your whole life. You busted your butt for that retirement money. Hang on to some of it. All you have to do is make a phone call. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call. They'll take special care of you, I promise. 833-995-GOLD. We still have another hour, and I have a ton to get to. Hang on.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.